Good morning. Glad to open the Word of God for you in the morning. I feel that the pulpit in the morning is different than the pulpit in the evening, although I'm preaching to the same congregation from the same book of the Word of God. And in this past week, I was helping Pastor York teaching a preaching class, to students who are in East Asia. So I felt very nervous because I have translated all these tips of teaching, and now I have my professor and president sitting right next, and I'm afraid that if I don't listen to his tips, I will be in trouble. But I remember that I'm preaching the word in front of God, who is to judge the living and the dead, and I should always be trembling, and I should always be relying on the Spirit of God when I preach. So now I invite you to open your Bible to the book of Judges. Our text this morning is taken from this book, but from two different places. Indeed, we have only two verses. One is found in chapter 1, verse 34, and the other is found in chapter 18 and verse 1. Now the first verse you may find in your pew Bible on page 255. And last Lord's Day morning, Pastor Rutt showed us the shepherds who are after God's own heart. And this morning I will do the opposite. I will show you the sheep who have gone astray, who have turned to their own way. And particularly, I will point you to the tribe of Dan, which is often called the black sheep in the house of Jacob. And we shall see that how this sheep, this tribe, turned away from God, being led astray from the promise of God. So this is a warning to those who have gone astray to call you back. But also this is a reminder to those who are still remaining in the fold so that you may hold fast to your great shepherd, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us hear the word of God. The Amorites pressed the people of Dan back into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the plain. Then we will turn to Judges 18, verse 1, on page 276. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. For until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. Let us pray that God will bless us with his word. O God, our Father, we come to your presence, and we ask you to bless us with this little crumbs, a few gleanings to feed us, to satisfy us. But in your word, we find life, and use your word to lead us closer into your presence and enjoy you more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a summer night of 1536, and a young man arrived in Geneva for an overnight stay. And he was visited by a stranger. The young man was John Calvin, who was 27 at the time and had just published his Institutes of the Christian Religion. And the stranger was William Farrell, one of the leading reformers in Geneva. And Farrell came to visit Calvin to urge him to partner with him in furthering the Reformation of Geneva. But Calvin resisted and expressed his desire to pursue a quiet life of study and writing in Strasbourg. Then Farrell, burned with an extraordinary zeal, arose from his seat and put his hand upon Calvin's head and said with a voice of thunder, "May God curse you and your studies if you refuse to give help when the necessity is so urgent here in Geneva." And by this dreadful imprecation, Calvin felt as if God himself reached from heaven and grabbed the scalp of his neck and arrested him from the journey he had been taken. So Calvin gave up his pursuit of an ivory tower life in Strasbourg and plunged into the dangerous whirlpool of Geneva. In this way, the trajectory of Calvin's life was changed, and the course of church world history was also turned. Now, as we turn our eyes to this morning's text, we see a different trajectory taken by the tribe of Dan, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They cast behind the promised land, the inheritance that God had allotted to them, and they sought for themselves another inheritance to dwell in. While in Judges chapter 1, the people of Dan failed to possess the land that was allotted to them. In Judges chapter 18, they succeeded in capturing the city of Laish. However, their success turned out to be much more tragic than their failure, for they were moving further away from God and heading deeper into idolatry. And in this way, the fate of the tribe of Dan was sealed. Now, people of God, I invite you this morning to consider, to examine your own life trajectory. I do not ask if you are making progress in gaining worldly success, in collecting wealth, winning fame, or climbing the social ladder. But instead, I'm asking you, are you drawing nearer and closer to God? Are you being more and more conformed to the image of Christ? Are you submitting more and more to the will of God? And are you enjoying more and more your inheritance of the heavenly kingdom in Christ Jesus? For I'm afraid that many Christians in our days are like the tribe of Dan, who have experienced the power, the saving power of God, who have entered the promised land, who have joined the church of Christ, but they fail to grasp the promises that have been made to them They failed to inherit and possess the land that has been allotted to them. And so they are sojourning even in the promised land. And they are languishing even in the house of God, unable to see the glorious riches of God's inheritance. They are looking to the world for a better inheritance. They are drifting away from God and wandering off into idolatry. So, brothers and sisters, what's your life trajectory? Are you drawing near to God, or are you drifting away from God? Are you pursuing your inheritance allotted by God, as Calvin did? Or are you seeking for yourself an inheritance in another place, as the tribe of Dan did? It's my purpose this morning to convince you that there is no better inheritance. There's no better inheritance than the one that comes from God. No better inheritance than the one found in Christ Jesus. No better inheritance than the one guarded by the Holy Spirit. You have obtained the best, the choicest portion, and you have no need to look to another place and seek a better inheritance. But in order to prove this point, let me expose to you three lies that the world uses to deceive you, to lead you astray, to rob you of the pleasant and beautiful inheritance that God has allotted to you. And the first lie is this: an inheritance is better if it's easier to obtain. An inheritance is better if it's easier to obtain. As we find in Judges 1:34, the people of Dan failed to inherit the land because they couldn't drive out the enemies. They couldn't drive out the inhabitants of the land, for the Amorites persisted in dwelling in the land. They had chariots of iron, and they didn't allow the people of Dan to come down to the plain, and they kept pushing them back into the hill country. So at last, after many unsuccessful efforts, the tribe of Dan gave up. The enemies were too strong for them. The challenge, the task, was too hard for them. And they decided to seek their inheritance in another place. So they sent out 5 spies to explore the land beyond. They came all the way to Laish, which was located on the northern border of Palestine, at the foot of Mount Hermon, at the source, near the source of the Jordan River. They found the people there living in peace and security, after the manner of the Sidonians. And these Sidonians were the very opposite of the Amorites. They were quiet and unsuspecting. They were far from other Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. In other words, they were vulnerable and defenseless. They were easy to capture, to conquer. So the spies brought back this report to their brothers. They said to them, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And while you do nothing, Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you are come to a people unsuspecting. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth. And how did their brothers respond to this report? Immediately, 600 men set out, armed with weapons, followed by their children and livestock. And as soon as they came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. Notice the contrast here between this passage and the first chapter. The people who were slow and hesitant to possess the land now respond with such speed and readiness. A people who were timid and powerless to drive out the enemies now conquered with such a force and success. But the irony is that they have possessed a land that doesn't belong to them, and they have conquered a people who are not their enemies. For the people of Dan abandoned their original task and picked an easier target. They deserted their allotted inheritance and sought and captured another land, an inheritance which was easier to obtain, a better inheritance in their own eyes. And is this how you react to the challenges, to the trials that God has put into your life? So instead of fighting the good and a hard fight, you pick a trivial and easy fight. Instead of carrying the cross that God has laid upon you, you prefer a lighter and easier cross. Instead of accepting the lot that has fallen to you, you seek another inheritance which is easier to obtain. Instead of mortifying your sin, you choose to hide your sin. Instead of purifying your soul, you choose to adorn your body and beautify your house. And instead of striving to enter the kingdom of God, you choose to pursue the glory of the world. Oh, how many Christians, even pastors, have left the church and embraced the world because they find it easier to join the world than to resist the world. They find it easier to have success in the world than to gain honor in the church. But remember this truth: easy to get, easy to lose, quick to come, quick to go. The tribe of Dan subdued the people who were far from the other Sidonians, and they settled in a land that was easier to capture. But they themselves became a people who were far removed from the other tribes of Israel, and they became the first to be subdued when the Assyrian kingdom invaded the land. So they thought they picked a better inheritance, an inheritance easier to obtain. But they only fell into a trap. They were captured by the lie of the world. O people of God, don't settle for inheritance that is easy to obtain, but consider how Jesus obtained your salvation, how he suffered much pain and sorrow, endured much shame and hostility, how his blood was shed, his body was broken, his soul was crushed. And so in the same way, through many tribulations, you must make your way into the kingdom of God to inherit the inheritance that God has prepared for you. For there's no better inheritance than the one Christ has purchased for you. And you must strive hard to obtain it, to grasp it, to lay hold on it. Now let's come to the second lie the world likes to tell you. And the second lie is this: an inheritance is better if it's more pleasant to the sight. An inheritance is better if it's more pleasant to the sight. For this is the lie that blinded the eyes of the spies sent out by the people of Dan. Notice how the spies reported to their brothers when they came back. We have seen the land, and behold, it was very good. It's a spacious land. It's a place where there's no lack of anything that is in the earth. Their implication was clear. The land we have explored is better than the land that God has allotted to us. It's more spacious, more fertile, more secure, more wealthy, and more pleasant. And in this way, the people were persuaded, and they preferred the land that they sought for themselves to the land that God had given to them. In the same way, Eve preferred the forbidden fruit to the fruit of the tree of life. And in this way, Lot preferred the city of Sodom to the land of Canaan. And in this way, Samson preferred the Philistine woman to the daughters of Israel. All of them picked the things that were more pleasant to the sight, more beautiful in their own eyes. And all of them had fallen to the lie of the world and lost the inheritance that they have received from God. The people of Dan, they captured Laish. Then they rebuilt the city. And they named the city Dan after the name of their ancestor. And then they set up the carved image for themselves. And since then, Dan had become a center of idol worship. And when Jeroboam set up his golden calf in Bethel, he also put a golden calf in Dan. And many people of the northern tribes of Israel would make pilgrimages to Dan and make sacrifice to the golden calf there. So you see, the tribe of Dan gave up their allotted inheritance. Do you know where their original inheritance was? It was right next to the tribe of Judah. It was very close to the house of God. But they removed themselves to a land that was far in the north, to a land that was filled with idols. And they thought it was a better inheritance because it was more pleasant to the sight. And remember how the spies described the land. It's a place where there's no lack of anything that is in the earth. This is a true statement. For the only thing that the land lacked was God, the true and living God who reigns in heaven. And because There was no God in their land. It was a bad land. It was abominable land. Nevertheless, the people of Dan chose this land instead of the land that God had allotted to them. So people of God, don't be enticed by inheritance that is pleasant to the sight, but has no God in it. Don't be tempted by an offer that promises you everything in the world, but removes you from the church of Christ, from the communion with the saints. As Moses despised the treasures of Egypt, as Calvin renounced the tranquility of Strasbourg, as Paul suffered the loss of all things, so let us also turn our back to the inheritance, the pleasures and the vanities of the world, and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely and beautiful, who is our inherited portion and cup, besides whom there's no one, there's nothing on earth that we desire. For there's no better inheritance, for God himself is our inheritance forever. Now here is the third lie told by the word. And the third lie says, an inheritance is better if it's chosen by myself. An inheritance is better if it's chosen by myself. This was a lie pervasive in the book of Judges. For in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone was there, was his own king. Everyone decided for himself what was good and what was right. And this spirit of autonomy and anarchy was clearly revealed in verse 1 and verse 30 of chapter 18, the beginning and the end of this chapter. The tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. And the people of Dan set up the carved images for themselves. They saw the land a better inheritance because it was chosen by themselves. And likewise, they thought the carved image a better god because it was set up by themselves. It's all about self. And doesn't this sound familiar to us? My body, my choice, my life, my rules. Our age has made self the unassailable sanctuary, the ultimate authority, the unquestionable deity. And no wonder there's such anger against the Supreme Court that attempts to overrule their choice. And no wonder there's such hatred toward unborn babies who dare to control their life. And no wonder there's such hostility against the God who is sovereign over all things and will come to judge the living and the dead. So people of God, do not be deceived by the world. An inheritance is not any better if it's chosen by yourself. In fact, an inheritance must be terrible and miserable if it's chosen by yourself. Because our corrupt nature is wholly inclined toward all evil and utterly indisposed unto any that is spiritually good. So we didn't choose God, but God chose us in Christ from all eternity. And we praise God for this. And we didn't decide for Christ, but Christ decided for us and died for us. And we give thanks to Christ for this. And we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this, we take our only comfort. As I prepared this sermon, I had one particular group in my mind. I was thinking of high school seniors. For you will soon leave your parents' roof, and probably you can't wait to shake off the chains of your parents, to breathe the air of freedom, to chase your own dream, to make your own choice, to seek for yourself an inheritance that is good and pleasant in your own eyes. But before you start your journey on your own, I want you to think of the tribe of Dan. For the most tragic fact about this tribe is that it's the only tribe missing in Revelation chapter 7, in the list of the 12 tribes of Israel that have been sealed by God. The tribe of Dan found inheritance for themselves on earth, and they lost their eternal inheritance in heaven. So please don't trade your heavenly inheritance for anything that is on the earth, for there's no better inheritance than eternal life and eternal happiness in the presence of God. Now please turn your psalm book to Psalm 16, Selection C. I will point out a few things. We will sing this psalm after I pray, but I want to point out a few things about this psalm. This is Psalm of Jesus, speaking of his resurrection. And in this psalm, Jesus also speaks of his inheritance, his portion, his cup, his lot. But what is his lot? But the cursed death on the cross. And what is his cup? But the full cup of the Father's wrath. And what is his portion? But the extreme suffering in body and soul. And what is his inheritance? But the land of the dead, the grave, the Sheol. But he accepted the lot that fell to him. He drank the cup that was poured for him, and he took the portion that was reserved for him, and he entered the inheritance that was allotted to him, so that he might obtain a pleasant and beautiful, an eternal inheritance for us and on our behalf. So, brothers and sisters, how can there be any better inheritance than this one that Jesus has purchased for us with his own life? Let us pray. Oh God, we affirm before you that there is no better inheritance. There's no better inheritance than this one that Jesus has purchased for us. For you have given Jesus as our inheritance, and you have made ourselves as your own inheritance. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us hold fast to the inheritance that we have received in Jesus Christ. And for the joy that is set before us, let us endure the cross, let us endure all suffering, all trials, all tribulations, and despising the shame, to inherit the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world, and to enjoy the fullness of joy at your right hand. And we pray this in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.